Welcome to CPAC Today in Politics. Coming up, the conservatives continue to call for answers in the Mark Norman case.
The government is responsible for this sordid affair, and we'd like to hear from some of the key players, including the Prime Minister, including Mr. Wernick, who clearly was very much involved in all matters related to legal actions with this government. We saw that with SNC. We now saw it at the heart of the Mark Norman affair.
Former MP Dean Del Mastro accuses Elections Canada of carrying out a personal vendetta against him.
I'm not here to relitigate my case for the press. I'm here because justice demands it, and because the Commissioner of Canada Elections, his staff, and Elections Canada more broadly, doesn't believe in it.
And the Ontario government says there's an emergency at the border and the federal government should pay up.
We're pleased that they have provided a meager level of support to the City of Toronto and to the City of Ottawa, but it falls far short of the $200 million costs that have escalated in the province of Ontario and continue to grow.
It's Friday, May the 10th. I'm Mark Sutcliffe. Let's get right to the top political stories this morning. I'm joined by author and op-ed columnist for the Chronicle Herald, Dan Legere. Good morning, Dan.
Hi, Mark.
So the latest on the Mark Norman storyline is, of course, the opposition is continuing to ask for answers, more questions in question period yesterday, probably more of the same today. But we're also learning that this new information that came to light that was brought to the attention of the defense and then the prosecution that led to the Crown staying the charge against Mark Norman, it may have arisen from some discussions that took place between former Conservative cabinet ministers and the defense in the Mark Norman case. So that's an interesting angle to this as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this, I'm sure your listeners will recall that this whole thing started under the previous Harper government, which gave a, you know, uncontested contract to the Davie Shipyard in Quebec City right before the 2015 election. And that was an area that the Conservatives were trying to win some seats. It was one of their few promising areas in Quebec. And, you know, the contract was certainly timed well, but it was also timed well because the Navy needed a supply ship, and desperately, both of its old supply vessels, fleet replenishment vessels, had been decommissioned or rendered useless by old age, really. So they had to get something done. So the Conservatives know a lot about this case. They know, I mean, and believe me, Mark, what I was reading last night and today about these Conservative ministers, you know, Peter McKay, Aaron O'Toole, and others coming out now, Jason Kenney, talking about it, but they aren't shedding much light. They're merely, I don't know, it's all very vague. And I know some of it is restricted by cabinet confidentiality from their time in the cabinet. So, but this story is murky, and I don't think it's much more has been revealed with this change in the case and Norman's absolution, if you will.
Will we learn more in the weeks ahead? Mark Norman is saying he will talk at some point. And I guess the other half of that question would be, to what extent do Canadians care about this? Is this the kind of thing that will change their opinion about any particular party or person in Canadian politics?
I don't think it's one of those impactful things because, you know, the fate of a very well-paid, super high-ranking military officer, it's not exactly, you know, the type of bread and butter issue that moves votes or that changes views. And, you know, Norman is saying he's going to talk. Well, Norman is also saying he's going back into the Navy. And if he gets back, you know, under harness full time, he's not allowed to go gabbing to the media or anybody else about stuff that happened related to the, you know, the acquiring of a ship. So, you know, I don't know how Mark Norman is going to go back into the Navy and how that's going to work or what job they're going to give him longer term. You know, again, these are things that, you know, I just shake my head. And you know, they're talking about no political interference in the decision to prosecute Norman. You know, I almost wonder if that isn't true, you know, that the prosecutors just pulled a bad case.
Right.
And as they've done a few times recently, you know.
All right, let's turn to former Conservative MP Dean Del Mastro, who spent a month in jail in 2015 after being convicted of failing to report a contribution that he made to his own re-election campaign in 2008, overspending and knowingly filing a false report. He's now accusing Elections Canada of having a personal vendetta against him, the elections commissioner, in fact, and he wants a parliamentary investigation. He's not ruling out running for office again. What do you make of this story?
Well, I mean, there are so many politicians, particularly, but others as well, who run afoul of the law, do something. They're convicted duly. He had a fair trial. He served his sentence. Now he's saying, oh, there was some kind of bias against him. You know, this is absurd. I read through everything I could about where the bias existed. And he's talking about, oh, SNC-Lavalin got some kind of a deal when they made contributions to the political parties. And he sees other people not being treated precisely the same way as him. But he was a sitting MP. He was a high-ranking Conservative MP. He was parliamentary secretary to Prime Minister Harper. He broke the election law. He offended against the democracy and then lied to cover it up. So he got what was coming to him, and I don't think anyone feels sympathy for Dean Del Mastro. And, he says he's going to run, but probably not federally. Maybe he could run perhaps in, Kazakhstan or someplace where that type of behavior is the run of the mill. So, he's going to find another line of work, that guy.
All right, let's turn to the Ontario government. Lisa McLeod, one of their cabinet ministers, said yesterday, there's an emergency at the border, and the federal government needs to pay more attention to it and also to offer financial support to the provinces and other jurisdictions that are dealing with this. Certainly, there is evidence that there's been a lot going on there over the last couple of years, but I wonder if there's more at play here than just the simple financial considerations for the provincial government.
Mm. Well, I mean, I think there's, as is the way so often with federal and provincial relations, there's always a couple of agendas in play. I mean,
right.
One of them is, I'm sure Ontario does want financial help to deal with the migration issue at the border, which has, as you point out, become much more acute in recent years. And Ontario is bearing a lot of the burden, and I can understand them going to the feds and saying we need some more money. But the other thing that's going on, clearly, Mark, is that, Doug Ford is part of the Conservative, bid to overturn the Trudeau government and get them defeated next time. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Much like Jason Kenney and others, they're going beyond their own boundaries. But they have every right to do that. So I take every one of these things as a political statement, as well as an economic and an intergovernmental one. This is no exception.
Finally, it appears as though the Prime Minister reached out personally to U.S. President Donald Trump. We know that throughout the week there have been overtures that have made between the Canadian government and the U.S. government over the Huawei situation. Are we likely to see any progress from the United States, any help from the United States to get Canada out of the situation that we find ourselves in, where we're sort of stuck in the middle on Huawei and facing pressure from the Chinese government, sanctions from the Chinese government, and more than that, obviously, Canadians who have been arrested and one who's been sentenced to death as this Huawei dispute continues?
Yeah, and Canada really is caught in the middle on this. This is, there are big stakes issues going on between the Americans and the Trump administration and the Chinese. Billions and billions of dollars of trade and the political ascendancy in the world among the superpowers. So, Canada really has gotten blindsided by this. There are hearings that are scheduled for Meng Wanzhou, who is the Huawei executive who was arrested in Canada, in prospect of extradition to the United States. So Canada just followed the rules as we understood them, so far as we know. But the Americans have been in no hurry to process it. Probably because they're distracted from the very top by the situation politically with the Chinese and the president and President Xi. So, she seems to be far down on the list of priorities in terms of the big picture, but I suspect that so often happens if they get some of the big things settled, this one might get settled too.
All right. Good stuff, Dan. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts today. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks for the call.
That's Dan Legere, author and op-ed columnist for the Chronicle Herald.
He was a man of service to his country and respect for the Navy and its people. This ordeal must have been horrific on him and his family. We want to say how relieved we are, along with thousands of other Canadians who've expressed concern about the way Mark Norman was treated.
Now, here's what political columnists and commentators are writing about today. In the Globe and Mail, Ken Hansen argues it may be untenable for Mark Norman to return to the Canadian Armed Forces. Hansen writes, Prosecutor Barbara Mercier said the Federal Prosecution Service still believes Vice Admiral Norman's conduct was secretive and inappropriate, but acknowledged that inappropriate does not mean criminal. That's true, but secretive and inappropriate behavior, if that's an accurate characterization, could undermine the trustworthiness of Mark Norman. At CTV News, Don Martin argues the fall guy in the Mark Norman case should be the general who suspended him. Martin writes, it was Chief of Defense Staff Jonathan Vance who threw Mark Norman under the proverbial LAV and suspended his second-in-command without a hearing. And it was Vance who reported to his political masters as the controversy raged, yet neglected to take notes of any conversations, including one with the Prime Minister. Added up, and Vance seemed too eager to serve as Norman's firing squad to appease a PMO infuriated over a leak which would normally be fairly routine. In the National Post, John Iveson argues, Trans Mountain may yet be a Liberal electoral asset. Iveson writes, to say the Liberals need a win is stating the obvious. But where is that popularity bump going to come from? One view is to attempt to make a virtue of the Trans Mountain pipeline expansion. A senior government official suggested the best option would be to sell the pipeline at a profit before the next election, which could help woo center-right voters across the country. Now let's look at what's coming up on Canada's political agenda. The Prime Minister will meet with the Mayor of Edmonton and will later speak in Edmonton about the municipal infrastructure top-up. Conservative leader Andrew Scheer will attend the Canadian Home Builders Association National Conference in Niagara Falls, Ontario. NDP leader Jagmeet Singh will meet with retired steelworkers and take a tour of an energy-efficient housing development on a visit to Hamilton, Ontario. Green Party leader Elizabeth May will hold a news conference in Ottawa to introduce newly elected Green MP Paul Manley. Bloc Québécois leader Yves-François Blanchet will hold a press conference on the climate emergency declaration in Quebec City. In Laval, Minister of National Revenue Diane Leboutillier will announce funding for the Laval Smart Mobility Incubator and Accelerator. Minister of Families Jean-Yves Duclos will be in Quebec City to speak about the Canada Child Benefit. Health Minister Jeanette Petipa-Taylor will attend the New Brunswick Hospice and Palliative Care Conference in Moncton. Innovation Minister Navdeep Bains will be in Toronto to talk about preparing young Canadians for the workforce. Natural Resources Minister Amarjeet Sohi will be at Concordia University of Edmonton for an event centered around an infrastructure project. And in a teleconference, Fisheries Minister Jonathan Wilkinson will make an announcement about the protection and recovery of the endangered southern resident killer whale. And that's CPAC Today in Politics for Friday, May the 10th. Tune into Primetime Politics Weekend on CPAC for coverage of all the week's events. Our podcast returns Monday morning. Have a great weekend.